across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, folks, I hope you all have realized and it has registered that our world is under post-traumatic stress disorder. Personality disorders are erupting across the continent, and it's astounding. We are put into a place where the dissolution of the family has left generations of traumatized people following traumatized people following traumatized people. It has become such an epidemic that it is now part of the storyline within The Simpsons or on television sitcoms where the children are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Is it caused by simple things like stashing people in a safe space so that they don't have to deal with their deep, dark emotional problems? Has this created this potential of what we now call social justice warriors ripping off their clothes, screaming in the streets, and bringing people to bloody brawls over political situations, bringing about and bringing up these personality disorders? So to understand the mind control that we are under, to put these things in perspective, we must dive deep down the rabbit hole to understand where this story boils up. Now, you can go as far as entering October 2015 of Playboy and find an unrelenting story of a secret agent that was an alien hybrid, asked his girlfriend to stash his body when he died in a car in Los Angeles, packed in with dry ice. This was done. And the person was later found nearly mummified. But the story that followed him was telling his name, Jeffrey Allen Lash, was of a genetically modified human hybrid that was working with the government with thousands of weapons stashed away. Now, in the end, they say this was a crazy man that was simply trying to take advantage of richer women using this story, which I, well, in order to get deep down this rabbit hole tonight, we are going to talk with, wow, I really went on a tangent there. We are talking with James Bartley tonight, who is an abductee. He has exposed many high levels of spiritual warfare. He studied in England, Germany, and is a student of military history with an emphasis on intelligence, counterintelligence, and special operations. James has worked in the semiconductor industry and telecommunications industry, and even in county government. Now, James also worked as civil service and major military command in an intelligence-related capacity. Now, we're going to start to work the wheat from the chaff here as we start to dig into human potential and personality disorders that we are watching erupt around the planet. Now, I want you folks to know that James Bartley will be presenting his lecture and workshop series known as The Reptilian and My Lab Chronicles. This will be March 25th in Australia. Boy, I wish I could be there. So let's dig deep into our personality disorders and the potential of humanity with none other than James Bartley. Welcome back to the show. Let me also mention that he has a wonderful new website, The Cosmic Switchboard, which now produces podcasts out to you, getting you this information every day. Check out thecosmicswitchboard.com. Welcome now, James. It's great to have you back.
It's great to be back, Freeman. Thanks so much for inviting me. I'm really looking forward to the show.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one, folks. And I'll tell you, I have so many things in my notes here. There's no way we're ever going to possibly get through it all, but we are going to try. So many places to begin in this story. And of course, I guess we should go ahead, James, and hit Antarctica up side the head. And I'm so hoping this leads straight over to my Stargate SG-1 image that shows the Obama administration correlated with the SG-1 staff. If you guys have seen this, I'll include it in the article here. SG-1, the entire administration of the Barack Obama administration are identical to the characters of SG-1. And I don't know if you've seen this, James.
Yes, I have.
Let's just dig into some of this pre-programming going on and how this is leading into, Buzz Aldrin coming around telling us these crazy stories about Antarctica.
Well, it does have a lot to do with pre-programming. I think of the Stargate SG-1 episodes, I believe from season 7, Lost City. It was a two-part episode near the end of the 7th season. And basically, in order to stave off an invasion from the half-ascended Gualled system lord Anubis, of all names, Anubis, SG-1 had to go into Antarctica, deep beneath the ice, access a base that was there, and with a power module they'd brought back from another planet, they had to power up the base, and then Colonel Jack O'Neill, who had the ancient gene, because we were just talking about, and we've talked many times, as you know, Freeman, about bloodlines, genetic profiles, etc. Well, Colonel Jack O'Neill has this ancient gene, which allows him to interface with alien technology. So he lays in this chair, think of the Montauk chair, folks. He lays in this chair, powers it up, and it's a weapon system, and he wipes out the whole alien fleet that was in the process of destroying Earth. So that was season 7, and that was many years ago, and that became a spinoff because they created Stargate Atlantis from the basis was that episode. It was two episodes in season 7, so they created a whole spinoff where the base in Antarctica figured prominently. So we've been pre-programmed about this for a long time, Freeman.
Yeah, and that Anubis character, folks, was the one who looked exactly like Obama. They're standing in the exact same position, Steve. Oh, my God, it's a mind blower. So now we're dealing with this god of the underworld, Anubis, and the ideas of ancient Egypt. We start to take this puzzle. Now, what we're looking at here, James, right, is this concept that we have Illuminati created hybrids, super soldiers, that are connected to a cosmic warfare that then wraps up into reptilians and Sirius. Is this about right?
Yes, absolutely. And throw in Orion and a number of other star systems. What's been going on out in deep space, it made its way to our solar system, and this cosmic war has been ongoing. The deep black elements of the military aerospace that are involved in this, some of them, at least some of those elements, are proxies for the Draco reptilians. They are essentially working for the Draco Empire. I mean, the people that are in it may not realize their true role or what level they're at, but they're definitely not calling the shots. There may be splinter groups that have kind of carved out their own technological scheme of things and kind of work independently from some of the other factions, but at least some of the factions are under Draco reptilian control. I'm sure of that.
All right, folks, let's take this a little bit more legitimately and have a look at the occult aspects and how this connects into even theosophy, Freemasonry, and all of this level. Because if we look back to Alice Bailey, now this is Lucifer Theosophical Society, she says that Sirius produces self-consciousness in man. It is basically the third eye. Others have stated that Freemasonry is the terrestrial version of the initiation rites of Sirius. Now, if you think this is quite a bit crazy, even Robert Anton Wilson said that the Freemasons were in contact with these intelligent beings from Sirius. You think this is crazy, have a look around. Once you realize that every pentagram you see, according to Freemasonry, is a symbol of Sirius. If you go to ancient Egypt, and you have a look at the symbol for Sirius, which is Sothis, it's an obelisk, a dome, and a pentagram. Now, every capital in America is set up with an obelisk, a dome, and a pentagram. If not the pentagram, a relationship to the Sirius with the goddess. And so realize that when we're talking about Alice Bailey, we're talking about 1800s, folks, getting into early 1900s as we start to talk about Sirius being in connection with humanity. And this storyline goes further back. We got Nicholas Rorick, who supposedly was carrying around a chunk of Sirius for the U.S. government, sent by Henry Wallace to go into deep subterranean caverns in Tibet and meet with ascended masters in paintings. Nicholas Rorick carried these paintings and painted these adventures, showing him bringing these artifacts of Sirius to these ascended masters in the deep inner earth. And if you don't know this, it was Nicholas Rorick who convinced Wallace to put the pyramid on the dollar bill. So this is where you must begin, deep down the rabbit hole. Is this about correct, James?
Absolutely. Klaus Donia has, I think he has an artifact that when exposed to ultraviolet light shows the eye above the pyramid and shows the constellation of Orion. So, and this is dated back several thousand years. So this is long before the Bilderberg Group meetings, long before the Council on Foreign Relations. What's going on around us is the outward trappings, the outward manifestations of an agenda that has had its origins far beyond Earth and in a number of different dimensions as well.
Yeah, I led us back away from the Antarctica story at this moment because I felt we needed a little more preliminary story to this before we got down to that idea. Because we're looking at a system that has been in place, folks, for millennia. We talked of Stargate Atlantis, and Edgar Cayce would tell us that Atlantis existed 200,000 years and then fell to ruin in the year 10,500. We have these correlations between this date and the Great Pyramids. We have all of this story that's telling us that there is much more going on planet Earth. And I know this story has been one that is only now starting to bubble to the surface. Extraterrestrial hybrids building super soldiers, creating warfare on planet Earth, just sounds insane to most people. But as we look to our technologies, as we look to what's actually going on planet Earth at this very moment, with killer robots, with CRISPR technology that can splice genes super cheap, they're so excited how cheaply they can splice your own genes and how easily it is to splice these genetics together. We start to realize that we must understand this secret military MyLab story and the connections to super soldiers and genetic hybrids to understand where humanity is going by looking at these zombified social justice warriors and how much, you can see the personality disorders just erupt to the surface. And so this is kind of where I wanted to go with this, James. So anywhere you want to pick up on that.
Yeah, well, we can come at it from both directions. Like you mentioned, the social justice warriors, how many of them and the colleges and universities are excreting these people out en masse, and they're just empty vessels. They're programmed to act out in certain ways and to take on certain causes which are not their own. And I would ask all the social justice warriors out there from universities, why aren't you campaigning for the NC2A athletes, the predominantly black athletes in football in college campuses who don't make a penny, and they make millions and millions of dollars for the universities? And what happens when one of these black athletes at a university, perish the thought, is taken out to lunch by a sports agent or by somebody who wants to get an advertising deal? Well, the media will come down on that athlete will come down on that sports agent because he's not a free agent. He's there as an indentured servant working for the university. So the school's athletic programs make millions and millions of dollars for the universities. None of this money ever gets back to the students, the athletes who were actually bringing in the fans, bringing in the money. And if any of these guys, these athletes and these women, go out and get any kind of a contract, they automatically lose their eligibility. They lose their scholarship. Why aren't the social justice warriors complaining about that? Well, they don't know about that. They've only been programmed to talk about and complain about certain things. So we're almost looking, as far as these social justice warriors are concerned, at almost another level of consciousness, another level, another species entirely. I just had Professor Daryl Hamamoto on my Cosmic Switchboard show. He was basically kicked out of UC Davis. That's University near Sacramento, California, because he was raising all these issues. He wrote a book called Servitors of Empire, talking about how now there have been generations of Asian Americans who've been brought to this country. Many of their parents were military personnel who served for the U.S. Armed Forces. And now, two, three generations down the line, these descendants of these original Asians brought over from America, they pop up at all these universities and wind up being these social justice warriors, screaming about racism, screaming about class warfare, demanding safe spaces for themselves. So, yes, we're seeing this kind of fragmentation of consciousness all around. Another recent guest I had was Janice Barcelo, and she talked about how this fragmentation and this PTSD is instilled in the prenatal stage, where the children, the fetuses in the womb are being hammered by ultrasound waves, they're being hammered by vaccines while still in the womb, and once they're born, they get hammered again. And so it's no wonder so many of these kids wind up autistic, they wind up with trauma, they wind up with autoimmune disorders. So they're getting them increasingly from the start. The moment they're born, they're plugged into the system and they're traumatized and they're re-traumatized. So we have a lot of work to do, but I do feel that there's this growing consciousness and energetic shift, and people need to start to focus on the secret space aspects of this too, because Antarctica is just a part of that. The story goes that, you know, due to melting ice, whatever the case may be, pyramids are starting to show up. Well, it wouldn't surprise me, because pyramids are in all continents of the planet anyway. Indeed, look at some of the imagery from Mars. We have pyramids there. The great work of Richard Hoagland and others like him. So pyramids are not even native to the Earth. They're found throughout the cosmos. So we have to get past this notion that this is strictly an Earth issue. Many of these people that have been plugged into these weird science black ops projects, they are utilized as operational assets in under mind control. They're sent off world. They're sent off to big space stations in the cosmos. They're sent off to other worlds. So they literally battle aliens, some of these people. And it's very traumatizing. There's nothing heroic or, you know, not to put a fine gloss on it, so to speak. I don't like the term super soldier myself, because it kind of glamorizes it. It kind of overlooks all the trauma these people have been subjected to. And these people are operational assets under mind control. They don't get remunerated for what they do. Many of these people, if you were to find them in society, they're eking out a subsistence living. A lot of them are still dealing with trauma. They've basically been shunned by their families, shunned by society. So these are the people that are oftentimes being utilized in these projects. And getting back to what Klaus Donia talked about, to give some perspective, the artifact that he has shows under ultraviolet light the constellation Orion, and it shows the eye above the triangle, the eye above the pyramid. So people, right off the bat, that tells you that this originated, this spiritual warfare manifesting on a number of different planes and dimensions, and especially here on Earth, it did not start here. It didn't start with the Bilderberg meetings. It didn't start with the Council on Foreign Relations. It didn't start with Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati. They just carried on traditions through a genetic hybridized bloodline or bloodlines, where key individuals that fall into this genetic profile have always been put in places of power and influence, not necessarily in front of the TV cameras. A lot of the shakers and movers will never know who their names are. From my understanding, from what my sources tell me, the Rothschilds are only about a little over half, maybe two-thirds of the way to the top of the totem pole. They answer to others. They answer to others off-world. There are beings, Dracos and other reptilian beings, that come here from off-world that are also interdimensional, and they're the ones that give the marching orders to the reptilian hybrid plantation managers here on Earth, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and people like them. So we have to put this in proper perspective. And another point I need to make, another one of my guests was Paul Blake Smith, who wrote a book, a couple of books, about the Cape Girardeau, Missouri UFO crash in 1941, April 12th, 1941, and he provided a lot of circumstantial evidence suggesting that it really did happen. So that was 6 full years and a couple of months before Roswell. So we're talking about this kind of advanced technology that has been in the hands of these aerospace corporations and the military going back at least 70 years. So their understanding of the cosmos, their understanding about metallurgy, chemistry, propulsion systems, fuel sources, etc., are radically different than just about anyone you'll find here on the surface. So they're operating under a different playbook. They're looking at things from a perspective that would boggle the imagination of most people here on the surface. And another point that, and you know, we can comment on this more, Freeman, is time travel is a reality. Some of these MyLabs are utilized in time travel operations. They're utilized in alternate reality operations because the deep black elements of the military, oftentimes under the tutelage and guidance of some of these extraterrestrial civilizations, they've always strived to duplicate, if not exceed, the capabilities of these ET races. And they are in contact, constant contact with a number, not just one ET race, but with a number of them. And some of these ET races have formed alliances with different factions here on Earth. So there's even conflict amongst the different MyLab aerospace control groups that have alliances with their own group of ETs. It's very much proxy warfare manifesting on Earth. And so we're going to start hearing more and more about Antarctica, more and more about the moon, more and more about Mars. The information has been out there all along. It's just, you know, it's up to people like Freeman and a lot of Freeman's listeners to put the dots together.
Absolutely. I mean, if you folks follow me on Twitter, I highly recommend it because you'll get all the articles that you need to follow these stories along. It's simply Freeman TV on Twitter. I just retweeted a post from Graham Hancock from the Independent UK, the independent news source, saying that life on Mars was far more likely than they ever thought. And we start to, you know, these things bubble to the surface. I try to bring them to you in the straight mainstream so that you can see as well that this story is bubbling to the surface. But in 1989, Senator Claiborne Pell founded the Human Potential Foundation. Now, this is a foundation that's funded by Rockefeller and many other billionaires, and it was to bring together psychics to communicate with the nine. And we start to get into these are things that can be seen, right? So if you go into the Thule Society and you find out that they were a psychical research society that then formed into the Nazi Party, now we've got the Human Potential Foundation that is funding psychics to channel information from these extraterrestrials. You can start to see that this is a reality.
Well, when people look into the life of Nikola Tesla, for example, he would have been what they called in a time in the past, a mystic, a visionary, a seer, because Nikola Tesla could literally see in other dimensions. These beings would manifest before him, and they would show him 3D images of all this technology. So he had to work really hard to stay grounded, and after a while, he did his level best to try not to see all this stuff on such a constant basis, because, I mean, you can imagine the kind of internal stress that would engender. Like at any moment your regular consciousness would like morph into this higher dimensional perspective and these otherworldly, other dimensional beings are showing you all this stuff. So he really had to work hard to stay grounded. And so what we saw, what has managed to come to the surface from Nikola Tesla's efforts, literally respond from other dimensions, other worlds. And we'll never know the totality of his work because he died under mysterious circumstances and the authorities came in and they made off with his papers and he died a pauper under mysterious circumstances. So we'll never know what exactly he was working on, but just from what he had publicly talked about and what has been written about, I mean, the potential was staggering. That Wardenclyffe Tower, whatever it was called, he wanted to plug into the Earth and use it as a big conductor, and all anyone would need anywhere would be an antenna to pick up as much energy as they ever wanted. Like, how would you meter something like that? How would you control people that had unlimited sources of energy? Because then they would turn around, start doing their own experiments. They would turn around and start to determine their own innate potential, their metaphysical potential, their mystical potential. They don't want that. That's why they've systematically wiped out all these indigenous cultures and the medicine men, the medicine women, and the shamans with them, and then imposed this horrific Catholic, Jesuit kind of Talmudic kind of control system where anything that smacks of metaphysics is immediately lumped into the lunatic category and the academics pile on and they say that's all nonsense and then the shrinks pile on top of that. Meanwhile, in deep dark cloisters and in gentlemen's clubs, they practice the ceremonial magic, this Enochian magic. I mean, think of Dr. John Dee, him and Kelly working to bring back the language, the so-called angelic language of Enochian, which some people consider to be an ET language. So there have been these underground streams of people that have this deep, vast knowledge that literally transcends space and time. They've hoarded it for themselves. They've systematically tried to eradicate those indigenous cultures that had developed their own organic, metaphysical, esoteric disciplines, which they were using to stay in harmony in the earth, to the earth, and to heal the earth, to heal themselves, to heal animals. And they didn't want any of that. They want a total control system. So when you look around and you see this control system around us, okay, now when you think of Fukushima, folks, and you think of the Gulf Horizon oil terminal platform, and then they pile on the core exit, supposedly cleanup stuff, which made things worse, that's terraforming, okay, because it's making the planet inhospitable to us. Add on to that the countless leaking nuclear power plants all over the place. So a lot of these reptilian beings, they're affected by radiation. They're affected by all that in a different way. It enhances them. It kind of makes them more alien, right? Especially if this planet becomes so polluted for us, but it makes it kind of a happy hunting ground for them. So if you want to get down to brass tacks, ask yourself if this is only a human problem, if this is only power mad bankers and power mad Freemasons that are strictly 100% human, why would they pollute the planet with Fukushima? Why would they install all these leaky nuclear power plants, which they knew would be obsolete in short order? Why would they infest the planet with GMO and change the natural organic DNA of all these plants and all these animals and creating, and just on the surface, we know that they're creating aggressive salmon that's going out and dominating the native species in the oceans. They're creating all these weird chimeras that never should have existed in the first place. But in the underground labs beneath China Lake, beneath a number of other places, the kind of weird science genetics they're doing down there is horrifying. There's no restraint. There's no ethics. There's no code of conduct. It's, if it feels good, do it. So they're making all these creatures that should never have been on this planet in the first place. And here's another thing to ponder, folks. All these stories you've heard about giants, they're real. Okay, I just had Jim Vieira and Hugh Newman on my show not too long ago. And Hugh Newman talked about how, as far as these megalithic sites are concerned, the lore associated with the megalithic sites almost always included giants. Giants were always involved in the lore of these megalithic sites. At one time in our planet's past, it was very much like Lord of the Rings, very much like Middle Earth, where giants, little people, they all coexisted. I just had Mary Joyce on my show. She talked about the Cherokee's interactions with the little people. There was two types of little people that she was talking about. Ones that dressed as kind of like little Celtic guys or gals, right? Think about like, you know, fairy folklore. And then this other group of little people that dressed similar to the Cherokee, except they were just much smaller. And so little people, giants, humans, regular-sized humans. This is right out of Lord of the Rings. So that's what's really been going on all along. Now all of that is bubbling up to the surface once again. So we need to like get out of this mindset where if we just kind of, you know, deal with the surface-level stuff, somehow we'll make everything go better. If somehow if we just believe in Trump enough that he'll change everything around, it's so much more deeper than that, as you know, Freeman.
Absolutely. Oh my God, I want to add so much to that. the death of the holistic healers, all of those around the globe making contact. I was completely shocked when I heard Foster Gamble of Procter & Gamble, the founder of the Thrive movement, saying that most of the engineers that he discussed free energy with said that they were getting this information from either the Akashic records or beings in hyper dimensions. This is what he found. Now, I want to also mention in my Twitter feed is an article about Aboriginal Australians, finding that these people, genetic analysis reveals that the present day Aboriginal Australians might harbor evidence of ancient interbreeding with an unknown human lineage. So this is straightforward news once again, showing us that this out of Africa theory and the ideas that there aren't other races of human beings on planet Earth is destroyed. So that is the level that we need to achieve. And what I find most important about these MyLab abduction stories and the PTSD, the trauma-based mind control, is the factor of the human potential and our connection with communicating with beings all throughout time and space.
Well, that's a key point to make, Freeman, because if you just study the alien abduction ET encounter lore and the factual documented statements and testimony from countless alien abductees and people, that's where the rubber meets the road, folks. We got to get out of this mode of lights in the sky research. A lot of these bogus scientific orientated UFO researchers, they use the excuse of following the scientific method to haul off and do nothing, okay? We need to start looking at the encounter experiences because that's where the rubber meets the road. And if you look at the encounter experiences, you see, you get a glimpse of what the innate human hybrid potential is, because in truth, we are all hybrids, not just of one ET race, but for some people, they have the genetic profile of a number of different ET races within them. And what happens in some of these alien abduction experiences, the people can interface, the abductees can interface with ET technology. They can stand there at what amounts to a computer, alien computer program, and be able to read, assimilate, understand alien script. They can interface and operate alien technology. They can alter their density and pass through solid objects. They can utilize telekinesis and move objects with their mind. They can interact with aliens on an astral basis in other dimensions. Aliens can actually astrally abduct people and medically operate them on them in another higher dimension, and then return them to their physical bodies, and they will feel discomfort in the places their astral body was operated on by the aliens. Go figure. It's a conundrum. It's a paradox. Sometimes they will have marks where their physical body contained marks where their astral body was being operated on. And sometimes the reverse would hold true, where their astral body would be operated on in certain places, and then when they're returned, there's no physical marks on their body in their physical body, but they feel discomfort in those places just the same. So that gives one just a glimpse of the innate human potential. And these aliens and these deep black elements of the military and aerospace and the medical elements within the deep black military aerospace, they know far more about the metaphysical potential of human beings. And so that's another reason why they target certain bloodlines and they find these people with a certain ET genetic profile, access them, mind control them, and utilize them as operational assets.
Exactly, folks. You got to wonder where our negative, Rh negative, the rhesus monkey factor, why some of us don't have it, and why those of us that don't tend to be into this type of information. There is definitely something to all of this.
Well, you made the point earlier, Freeman, about the Aboriginals, and again, it destroys the whole out of Africa concept, which in itself could have been a manifestation of what I call Anunnaki propaganda, because the Anunnaki would have us believe that they were the sole progenitors of our species a mere 400,000, 500,000 years ago, but the Aborigines themselves say they've been here for at least a million years, and they came from the Pleiades, right? And that seems to be a commonality amongst virtually all, as far as I know, all the different Aboriginal tribes that are left. The one thing they have in common is we came from the Pleiades before we came from here. And so, and they say they've been around for a million years. And you look at the Lakota, they say, well, we're from the Sirius system, right? Just as a number of other races say they're from the Sirius system. And again, their lore predates the accepted academic lore. Even in simple Egyptology, if you look at the accepted Egyptological meme that, you know, the Pharaonic dynasties only go back so many thousand years, and yet in the Egyptian information itself, if one studied it in an unbiased fashion, the ancient Egyptians say they were around for at least 30,000 years. And then you look at the King's List, right, and how far that goes back. I think that's with the Sumerians. But see, it's all about cherry-picking, Freeman. It's they'll pick these factoids and data points which suits their agenda, and they'll studiously avoid anything that smacks of mysticism, that suggests that perhaps these cultures have been around far longer. They can just focus on jurisprudence, court cases, focus obsessively on like pottery shards. But when it comes to the real data, the real eye-opening data, that's just systematically just excluded. And remember, folks, that modern Egyptology in America had its roots with the Rockefellers. They were the ones that created the Oriental Institute in Chicago. Then you have all these French explorers and archaeologists who did their level best, it seems, to keep everything at a dumbed-down level. Yet another one of my guests was Dr. Sam Osmanagic, who works on-site at the Bosnian Pyramid. And he talks about how it's an ongoing source of energy. People go beneath the underground there. There's some tunnel passages they've been excavating, because one of the successor legacy civilizations, for whatever reason, blocked up the tunnel systems beneath the pyramids. And it's not just the Bosnian Pyramid. It's a complex. There's a number of smaller megalithic sites, megalithic pyramids and sites connected with a larger pyramid. And even in the so-called alternative archaeological movement, Dr. Sam Osmanagic and the Bosnian Pyramid are looked at, they regard him and his work and the pyramid as nonsense. But I mean, when I look at that thing, I see a pyramid. And he talks about the metaphysical aspects of it, where people that are suffering from asthma, the people that have health issues, go underneath in the tunnels that they manage to excavate. And they come out after a couple hours feeling a lot better. They've done tests on people, lung breathing test, and they note that when they spend even a relatively short amount of time in these tunnels, they come out, they can breathe a lot better. Their psychic abilities are enhanced. Some of the people down there report encounters with what seem to be benevolent, higher dimensional entities. So there's a lot going on there. And the archaeology and the analysis of the plant matter that they found there suggests that the pyramid in Bosnia may go back 30,000 years. So again, that just changes everything. We've been told the out of Africa theory, and we just descended from, you know, these apes and man apes, and then, but now we're hearing about the Aboriginals, and they're telling us that they've been here for a million years. And another thing also that's interesting is Aboriginal skeletons have been found in a number of other different continents. And what the lamestream archaeologists do is, first of all, they studiously ignore that, just how they've studiously ignored all the, like, the giant skeletons and everything, stuff like that. But when they do stop and think about it, their knee-jerk response is, well, they must have contiki'd their way from Australia to North America, let's say, and, taken rafts or boats there. No. To this day, the Aboriginal elders and the elders in North America and the Sasquatch folks, they utilize a global portal network. That's how they get around. They don't take a boat from like Australia in ancient times and row all the way out to North America and then leave their skeletons there. They utilize the worldwide portal grid. And some of your listeners, Freeman, can open portals. Some of your listeners have gone through these portals because they brought that innate understanding and that capability with them into this incarnation precisely because they fit a certain genetic ET profile.
Yeah, I honestly think I did that once. I was walking across a field, and when I got to the other side of the field, I was at the beginning of the field. I mean, it's just something I know that happened. No one can prove it. And everything that you're saying brings me right back to paramagnetics and how much magnets have had to deal with magic and the Magnus and the Magus. But Paramagnetism, a book by Philip Callahan, gets into the idea and shows scientifically that round towers that were developed in Ireland actually created an EM force that caused the plant life to grow fuller with more nutrition and better. And they tried to explain these round towers away, saying that they were a place to go hide from villains, which is ridiculous because you'd be completely trapped. But that the EMF, the electromagnetic frequencies at the opening, which is usually about 6-7 feet above the ground without a ladder, the opening, no one could really figure out what these were for, but that the EMF pulses at that level were even more magnified at that point. So we have a lot of very straightforward evidence to show that pyramid power is in existence, folks, and that as we start to look at our new structure of things, we can see the pyramid energy grid as a global size computer. I did want to ask you one thing, James, before I forget. Did you see this cloud Dementor image that came out of Zambia?
Was that long kind of humanoid-looking cloud thingy that was... Yeah, that looked kind of creepy, actually. I saw that. I mean, I couldn't dismiss it out of hand. I know the trolls and shills had a field day with it, but I mean, there are stranger things than that, so I wouldn't doubt that that was real.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I just don't
have
any proof for it, but it looks interesting.
I did do a show called Atmospheric Beasts, and this was all the way back on the Freeman Perspective, back in Austin, Texas, you know, in Alex Jones's chair. Anyway, that I guess did not make it from Google Video over to YouTube when that whole transition happened, because all my stuff was on Google when YouTube came about, and then I wasn't going to move it all, you know, and break it into 15-minute parts. So some of them didn't make it, but I'm going to try and find that in my massive collection of DVDs of my shows and bring that one back out, because these guys were showing me imagery that you couldn't deny, folks. I mean, these were beings formed in clouds, and
yes.
Then there were also very much like the video game turned movie. I always forget where the giant ancient whales and stuff are killing everybody. They're the ghosts of the whales and ghosts of things that are flying through the air. God, I wish I remember the name. It's one of those anime video game movies, which everyone will know and everybody will put in the comic section for me, so we'll get that straight away. But the idea that there are these entities that are completely invisible to the human eye, to the naked eye, but then are starting to show up inside of chemtrails, and you
yes.
can actually see full forms. And these guys brought the best. Well, they didn't bring me their best. That's what really killed me. They had some really good stuff. I guess they were holding it for themselves. I don't know if it ever got released, but these were humanoid figures that, you know, are beyond cloud shapes, beyond cloud, you know, just trying to manifest an image out of it. These things were there. And just like this weird cloud Dementor in Zambia, you could see clearly these things. And then you would see, and they showed this to me repeatedly, what they called the atmospheric beasts would get destroyed by the chem planes. And they would, you know, shoot for the eye and take these things out, and you'd watch them dissipate. They had film of this all over the place, and it was really amazing.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because it's a key point to make. I give credit where credit's due. I think about a colleague of mine, Barbara Cruz, C-R-U-S-E. She's gone by her like a Native American name, Wailoa, and she was the pioneer in using Photoshop editing techniques to utilize contrast and what have you in order to bring out what had been invisible images and bring them out in crystal clear clarity. For example, she would take a picture of what looks like to be a cluttered attic. And then with deft, you know, utilization of the contrast and other techniques in photo editing software, she's able to show that there's entities there. There's entities and they're standing by a machine and there's hoses coming out of the machine, right? And also she'd take a picture, say, of like a clearing in a forest. And to the naked eye, there's nothing there. But when she does her work with the software editing, you see entities there. You see machinery there. You see all kinds of stuff. It's all around us. Even Professor Michio Kaku will say that aliens and whatnot are all around us. We just can't see them. Some of us can feel them, though. And some of us with etheric third eye vision can see them for sure. Now, where Barbara started running into problems, get this, is when she started using those photo editing techniques on politicians, on industrialists and financiers. And my goodness, these people were reptilian and Draco hosts. You can see the entities overshadowing these people. And she started coming under a lot of harassment. They attacked her. They attacked her family. She just went through a lot of crap, basically. Pardon my Anunnaki. Another person, so I want to give a shout out to Barbara Cruz Wyo, because she was one of the pioneers. Another person that I must give a shout out to is, I'll call her Sally. I was on her Facebook group, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it had to do with sky anomalies. She was formerly in the U.S. Air Force with a TS clearance. She was a photo interpretation analyst. So she would be given the imagery from spy planes, from satellites, etc., and then she would have to make sense out of them. And she applied those skills, that skill set, to the skies above. And you're right, Freeman. Sometimes with the naked eye, you will look up and there's an outline, a humanoid outline that's like hundreds of feet long. And what she started doing was she started taking all these pictures of cloud formations and what have you, and start to utilize, just like Barbara Cruz did before her, these Photoshop editing techniques, contrast, what have you, and all this detail would come out of what would just seem to be either natural cloud formations or increasingly, you know, chem bursts, chem bombs, chem clouds, etc. And you could clearly see like a giant alien, for lack of a better term, in outline. I mean, this would be so crystal clear that you cannot write it off as just being some kind of anomaly or just like, you know, a hoax or anything. And you could see them standing on top of some big, what looks like a big box-like rectangular structure, some kind of a machine, right? And then what she started doing was she would take, in those precious few days, Freeman, when we would have clear blue skies, or relatively speaking, because there's always going to be the residue of the chems, but she would take pictures of blue skies and then apply the photo editing techniques. And in the skies above us, Freeman, there would be all this woo-woo alien script, like weird angelic Enochian writing or something, like computer code almost, in the skies above us, right? And long story short, this gal, who I call Sally, with a background in Air Force photo interpretation analysis, she went through so much harassment, so many attacks, that she closed down her Facebook group, and no one has been able to hear from her again. I mean, you know, she's one of my Skype contacts, and she doesn't respond to, you know, messages anymore. She was subjected to so much harassment, she dropped out of sight. And so the long and the short of it, folks, is there's a whole world all around us. And with the advent of the camcorders, the digicams, and increasingly you have the more high-quality camera equipment and the photo editing software, man, you could find stuff all around. You can find them in and around people. And I think with this energetic shift that's going on, they being this control system and the different manifestations of this control system, they're having a hard time hiding all this. And those of us that are kind of switched on, we're noticing it. The key is to roll with it, not get all freaked out about it. And you mentioned earlier at the outset, Freeman, how a lot of people really, I feel, are not handling this energetic shift too well. A lot of these people out there, they're going bonkers. They're going crazy because a lot of these people were kind of borderline hosty, reptilian Draco host anyway. And so now with this energetic shift going on, some of these guys and gals are going nuts, basically. They're not handling the shift too well.
That's right. That is absolutely correct, folks. And we are the Matrix Sentinels, and we need to be strong and understand what is going on, and that's why we bring you shows like these. I want to remind you all as well to get out and go over to freeyourmindconference.com and get your tickets for Free Your Mind coming up April 7th, because I will be there, and I would love to see you all. So that's going to be a great time. I'm still working up that lecture for that, and our great guest, James Bartley, is working towards his Reptilian and My Lab Chronicles for March 25th. You want to give us some updates on that, James?
Yes, the event will be at the West Ryde Eastwood Leagues Club in West Ryde, which is a suburb of Sydney. You can find details of this on thecosmicswitchboard.com. I have the venue rented out for 5 hours from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. I'll probably give a couple of 15-minute breaks, but otherwise, for 4.5 hours plus, I will be giving what amounts to a military-style briefing about virtually all aspects, or as many aspects, of reptilian abductions and my lab experiences as I can in that time frame. It'll be a no-nonsense, no-frills. I'm just going to go down the list of all these key aspects that people going through these experiences need to know. Absolutely. And also, it's the first of a series, so we're going to have a date in April, late April, in Melbourne, Australia, and plug into my website, thecosmicswitchboard.com, for more details about that.
Yes, get Lewis out there. I met one of the wonderful Aboriginals there in Byron Bay. And he came to my Space War lecture there in Byron Bay and full-on gave an Aboriginal greeting and blessing for me. It was amazing with the didgeridoo and his full makeup, full garb. It was really epic.
Yeah, it's, you know, we should really take the time to pay attention to what these elders and these people from these indigenous cultures know, because they have so much information. If we're just willing to take the time and listen and just take in what they've got to say, we can benefit from it.
Absolutely. Without a doubt, folks, that's what's being dissolved as we watch the family core dissolve, as we watch the PTSD go on the rise, as it becomes just a common topic now, as blatant as The Simpsons or a show like The Mick. And they just throwing it out at you folks, and I let you know that this whole dissolution symptoms and personality disorders that we're dealing with are coming straight from these mind control programs, and they are at these heights, at these levels. And so when we pick up this story with James on the other side, we're going to be getting into time travel, the connections to Saturn, jump rooms, Max Spears, and as deep as we can into sigil magic with Michael Aquino or even Dr. Mengele. So if you're not a member yet, get over to freemantv.com, subscribe, and get me the support that I need, because I want to take this show bigger and better. I'm trying to make the move to WQXD and get out on cable television, which will be a whole new production. We're talking full live video and the whole works. And for in order for me to escape where I'm at and get there and do this, I need your support. So even if you just sign up for a month, trust me, there's 12 years of data there on freemantv.com for you to go through. There's no such thing as an old show. Everything is going to teach you something. And I'll tell you, I've forgotten more than you'll ever learn. I think that's the truth. So when we get back, we'll be getting deep into J.R.R. Tolkien and his trips into the Vatican, along with Nikola Tesla, where these information are coming from, and then take it to the ultimate strange with the story of a soldier known as, or a conspiracy theorist, as it's put in the mainstream media, Max Spears, and understand how we got trapped here on planet Earth, why our souls can't commute and can't seem to really communicate with these interdimensional beings, and how we could possibly come up with the human potential to transmute ourselves into galactic beings. So stay tuned, folks, and James, please, any last statements you have for our lovely listening audience?
Yes, I second the motion, folks. Freeman has been standing in the gap all this time, and I've only been in the podcast game for a relatively short period of time, and I know personally the amount of interference, harassment, disruption one has to put up with. And so, I stand in awe in what Freeman has done all this time. He's left this lasting legacy, a body of institutional knowledge that we should all plug into.
Yeah, if there's one thing I've learned from this, folks, is that you don't even know that you're under post-traumatic stress disorder. This is something that just has been growing to light for me throughout all of these shows. And we've had all these wonderful consciousness shows going, and we have many more coming your way. I'm very excited to introduce you to Dr. Joe Marshalla, who has died a number of times. And I'll finally tell you guys all my near-death experiences. And we'll start to look at this puzzle through our consciousness and bring it to light and bring ourselves out of this madness, because that's the only way out. So thank you so much, James, for the kind words. And keep going, my man. Keep going with the cosmic switchboard. Because I'll tell you, folks, this is the next story. This is the next level. And it's often hard to be ahead of the curve. So just allow everybody else to catch up with you and let this information sink in and realize that we are all trauma-based mind control victims at this point. And the only thing that's going to help at this time is nurture and understanding. So keep that in mind as you get around all the crazy mad social justice warriors screaming in your face and wanting to cut themselves for some weird reason. It's personality disorders coming through the dissolution of the family, and it is all engineered and organized by mind control manipulators, the elite, and extraterrestrials controlling them, believe it or not. We'll see you all next week.